So we plan on just kind of spending a lot of time in wisdom in the book of Proverbs over the next several Tuesdays, and you know, just to see what the Lord has for us. And it's been quite enlightening for me to go through these things. And I know that many of you, as regular habit, read the Proverbs and glean a lot of wisdom from these things. So we're just going to look at it. Well, just to start off with prayer tonight, just let's just open in prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you so much, Lord, for this day that we've had, Lord. We're so thankful that you are over us and you care about us. You care about the deep things that we go through. You've been there already. And you understand these things and how we try to navigate through this world at this time. Many voices, many opinions, many feelings. And Lord, we just would like to look to you as we continue every day to just seek your wisdom. And the Bible says that wisdom is the principal thing. And in all you're getting, get wisdom. So we just pray, Lord, that that you might, with your Holy Spirit, speak to us as a church family, Lord, to go to you individually, and also, Lord, just to collectively come together and to seek your wisdom as we go through these chapters in the next several weeks. Lord, we just pray that your Holy Spirit would indeed come down and to just enlighten us, Lord. And we know that the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. And we just pray, Lord, that we would experience yourself, Lord, teaching us through these things as we read them and study them, Father. We just pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay, so let's start off by reading Proverbs 1, 1 to 7, and then Proverbs 4. 7. And we'll just make a few comments. I want to comment tonight on basically the authors of the book, other books of wisdom. I want to talk about the organization of Proverbs. And then I want to talk a bit about the key verse in verse 7 here of chapter 1 of the book of Proverbs. So, you know, just looking at sort of an administration type thing tonight, and hopefully something that will appeal to us as well in a devotional sense. But just looking at all these backgrounds to the book of Proverbs and organization, just to kind of get a feel of the book in general. And then on Sunday morning, Lord willing, we'll look at, you know, Solomon's beginning of wisdom, the queen's wisdom, a queen's wisdom, the beginning of a queen's wisdom, and then a Christian's beginning of wisdom. And so hopefully, you know, we'll make it there till Sunday morning, but we'll pray for that. So the definition of wisdom is the quality of having experience, knowledge, and good judgment, the quality of being wise. And so, you know, we hopefully, as most of us go through life, we gain wisdom, and we certainly do. And we gain a worldly wisdom. And that's all good. If we do a job for so many years, we should become better at it. And we know we've gained knowledge. We've pursued knowledge. We've taken extra courses to build our careers. And the experience comes along there. They say that there's no substitute for experience. You know, it's always a good advertisement to advertise at least, you know, so many years of experience in the business. And then to kind of pull these two things together, knowledge and experience, to pull them together into good judgments and discretion. And that's the quality of being wise or having wisdom. And so that's the definition of wisdom. And I think the Lord definitely wants us to be able to navigate through the things of life with indeed wisdom, but wisdom from above. And we certainly learn things sometimes the hard way, sometimes by the Lord in his generous guidance of us. I think he would have us to learn wisdom from above. And it takes on a different meaning. One of the things that will be spoken of or elaborated on is in James, it talks about the wisdom from above. And, you know, when I first looked at this topic and thought about it, One of the ingredients of wisdom from above was a willingness to yield. It says in James, and I think Randy is going to be dealing with that in his topic that he'll look at and some of the references that he'll look at. But wisdom, having more wisdom is not, you know, being able to win an argument or just being able to talk yourself out of a bind or something. One of the ingredients of the wisdom from above is being able to yield, you know, willing to yield. And that's a hard thing to do sometimes. So it's not always about having the right answer. You may have the right answer, but as you apply it in context of some sort, you may have to have some of these other attributes of wisdom that are mentioned in that verse in James chapter 3, I believe it is, 17. And so anyways, as we go along in the book of Proverbs here, let's just read the first seven verses and then chapter 4, verse 7. It says, the Proverbs of Solomon, the son of David, king of Israel, to know wisdom and instruction, to perceive the words of understanding, to receive the instruction of wisdom, justice, judgment, and equity, to give prudence to the simple, to the young man knowledge and discretion. A wise man will hear and increase in learning, and a man of understanding will attain wise counsel. To understand a proverb and an enigma, the words of the wise and their riddles. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, but fools despise wisdom and instruction. And so we have here the Proverbs of Solomon, the son of David, king of Israel. And so here's the first author of the book of Proverbs. And Solomon was David's son that he had with Bathsheba. And he succeeded David as king. And let's just keep our fingers here and go to 1 Kings chapter 4, 1 Kings 4, verse 30. We're going to read a little bit about Solomon there. 1 Kings 4, verse 30. And it says, thus Solomon's wisdom excelled the wisdom of all the men of the East and all the wisdom of Egypt. And so there was other men who had wisdom and a great deal of it, but he excelled them all. For he was wiser than all men. And it talks about those men, and his fame was in all the surrounding nations. He spoke 3,000 proverbs, and his songs were 1,005. And then he also was a subject matter. He did 3,000 proverbs, 1,005 songs. And in verse 33, he was a subject matter expert in various domains. It says that he spoke of trees from the cedar tree of Lebanon, even to the hyssop that springs out of the wall. He spoke also of animals, of birds, of creeping things, and of fish, and men of all nations from all the kings of the earth who had heard of his wisdom came to hear the wisdom of Solomon. And so we see here what he did, and we go back over to Proverbs. The next author that's mentioned in chapter 30 is Agar, and it's been sort of mentioned that this is the attitude that we should have when we come into the book of Proverbs or when we come before the Lord looking for wisdom. What Agar learned in chapter 30 in the first few verses there, he says basically of his own wisdom that he didn't have any. And in light of being before the Lord and experiencing the vast wisdom of a God who could create things and make things and basically touched everything in the universe, on the earth as well, he was amazed by his tremendous lack of wisdom himself. So it says in verse 2 and 3 of 30, chapter 30, surely I am a more stupid man than any man. Surely I am more stupid than any man, and do not have the understanding of a man. I neither learned wisdom nor have the knowledge of the Holy One. So he knew God and he knew the Lord, but just in that awesomeness of the wisdom of God, it became quite apparent that in comparison to his wisdom, it was very, very low. Comparison to the God's wisdom, his wisdom was very low and very, very small. And so he always had this need of, you know, this is the right attitude that we should have. And as we get older, we get more wise. Yes. And hopefully that's the case. But, you know, as in our first five verses, a wise man will hear and increase learning. Are we ever out of the need to have more wisdom about things? And a man of understanding, if you are a wise man, a man of understanding will attain wise counsel. You'll still go after those that can speak wisdom into your life. And, you know, so this man here gives us a model of how we should approach wisdom in front of God, who knows all things. And then the third author is not Lemuel, as it mentions in chapter 31, but his mother. So Lemuel's mother, and in celebration of Mother's Day this Sunday, here's Lemuel's mother, who is advising Lemuel on what to say. And so thank God for those mothers who have been wise in their days to counsel us. And we thank you in advance for that before this Sunday. And then she speaks about a wise woman at the end of Proverbs 31, doesn't she? So we have three authors here, Solomon and Agar and Lemuel. And some feel maybe that Agar and Lemuel are different people. Some feel that maybe there are other names for Solomon. But I like to think that they were different people. They're different names that are mentioned. But anyways, we look at the breakdown of the authors contributing to one of the books of wisdom in the Bible. That brings us to other wisdom books. So Proverbs, basically, especially in the middle section of Proverbs, Proverbs are basically little pieces of insight. And it's often sort of working in the grammatical way of parallelism, which means that two phrases are matched or contrasted to be able to communicate a truth or a probability of what might happen. And so one thing I'll say about Proverbs in terms of the Proverbs themselves, these little pieces of insight, I think that the Proverbs are not promises per se, but more probabilities of what may happen. Proverbs 22:6, train up a child in the way that he should go, and he will not depart from it. Now, if we train up a child, there's no guarantee that they will continue in the ways of the Lord. So it's probable that if they are trained up in the ways of the Lord, that they will continue in the ways of the Lord, but it's not always a promise. It's not a promise, is it? It's not always a guarantee, but a probability. And so sometimes there are black and white pieces of insight that are here and very valuable nonetheless. But God, in His wise, in His wisdom, basically have included other books to deal with those gray areas of life, if you will, that shed some light on, in a pastoral way, for the people of God to navigate through the gray areas as we anticipate them and go through them in life. And the other books of wisdom are Psalms. These many of you have gone through the Psalms. And of course, as we know, they focus on the emotions of life. In Job, that's another book of wisdom. Suffering is mentioned there and what he suffered. And James talks about if any Christian lacks wisdom, and it's after at the time of trial. And oftentimes at times of trial, we will find ourselves despondent. And that's when we need the wisdom, right? And God invites us to definitely ask of him for wisdom in these times. Job speaks about suffering and may shed some light on those gray areas of life as we go through them. Ecclesiastes is a book of wisdom on the meaning of life. A Song of Songs looks at love and marriage and sexuality. And I love it that there's this sort of multi-pronged approach that God uses by His Holy Spirit to communicate to us wisdom in so many areas of life. And so He comes to us as a pastor, and he tries to school us in various things of the questions in life. There's big, major questions in life, and we can navigate through these things, and God does answer in terms of the books of wisdom. And so we go back to Proverbs, and as I mentioned, the pieces of insight that basically talk about many topics, marriage, family, relationships, money, anger, pride, friendships and forgiveness are some of them that are talked about here, and in great detail, some of them. Some of them have more verses dedicated to them than others, but as we go through the next couple of months, we will hopefully hear from the other brothers about some of these topics. So the organization of Proverbs is such that the first nine chapters are kind of considered one section, and then it goes from 10 to 29 as another section, and then it goes to chapter 30 and 31 with the words of Agur and Lemuel. And so the first nine chapters, there are several speeches here given from a father to a son. Now, in ancient times, wisdom was always seen as being passed down from father to son. No favoritism here. We know that mothers can pass down. In fact, we had a mother here already mentioned in Proverbs. But in ancient time, it was always seen as a father passing wisdom along to his son. So it was a familial thing, and it was a relational thing, and it was a thing of quite importance. Took quite an important role in the family. But several speeches in chapters 1 to 9, from, if you just look at it, several times it speaks about my son, my son, my son, my son. In this section as well, there are four poems from Lady Wisdom. Wisdom is seen as feminine here in verse 20 of chapter 1. She raises her voice in the open squares, and wisdom, she cries out in the chief concourses. She speaks her words. So Lady Wisdom here, there's four poems in this section here in chapter 1, verse 20 to 33, chapter 3, 13 to 20, and then chapters 8 and 9 will speak a great deal about wisdom itself and wisdom personified. In 10 to 29, we see the first chapter 10 and verse 1, it says the Proverbs of Solomon. And this is kind of seen as a reference section where all these, short, insightful sayings are held. And many people throughout life, many of us as Christians, will go back to this section in particular and read them over and over and over. My wife and I are traveling into the city every day for work now from the beautiful town of Perth. And so we have a lot of time to just listen to daily audio Bible. And he reads from different sections of the Bible each day, reading through the Bible in a year. And but in the book of Proverbs, he doesn't read he only reads the verses that are kind of related to each other. So you might only read one verse. You might read maybe 10 verses that are connected in this section here, the Proverbs of Solomon. You might only read one or two verses before it changes subject matter, and it changes very frequently, and it skips around a lot, but there's a lot of wisdom in that, just reading one verse at a time, and I think many of us do that, and we refer back to it many times in life. And then I just wanted to mention here, too, with the time we have left, that the key verse in this book, I believe, is verse 7. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, but fools despise wisdom and instruction. And, I got thinking about this, and I thought to myself, well, can you have wisdom without the fear of the Lord? And I think you can, definitely. You can understand a lot of things. You can increase your knowledge. You can increase your experience and therefore gain wisdom and discretion about your, let's say, your job at work, that you do every day, and raising a family and stuff like that. There's a lot of wisdom that you can attain for yourself as you go through life. But here, when it speaks about the fear of the Lord, people of ancient day kind of saw wisdom as involving understanding and order in the world, understanding order in the world. Basically, like if they looked at creation, well, there was an order then given to the cosmos at the time. And if there was a law, like there was order given to society. And when we went through the book of Exodus and the massive amounts of people that came out of Egypt, you know, they needed the laws written down in the books of Leviticus, et cetera, to guide them in how to live in the society now, because they didn't know how to treat each other, et cetera. And so we see that God had laid down a law. He was providing order as to how people would function as a group. And also just to, in human relationships, there was a certain etiquette given there too. And that was seen as from God as well. And in terms of politics throughout the, as the people, you know, navigated themselves, this large group of people navigated themselves, they navigated themselves by the governance and authority that God gave. And wisdom is present when order is perceived, pursued, and preserved. They saw the fear of the Lord. The ancients saw the fear of the Lord as key to integrating the process to of order. And they would see the fear of the Lord as key to that, as the foundation, as being from above. God, it would be God that would order, make order out of disorder. And he would provide the foundation, and that's where you start from. And one could only give order by acknowledging the one who brought order. And truly, wisdom will, it says here, wisdom will transcend the basic knowledge of skill related to a particular discipline. So we can have a lot of wisdom in areas. We could read many books on how to maybe govern our marriage relationship or our families. But really, wisdom comes from combining the Lord into this process of combining knowledge and skill that we learn as we go through life. And really, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. That's got to be there first. And the recognition of what his role is in the attainment of wisdom. He will direct us. He will give us insight. He will help us to make those right decisions. I mean, we don't always make always the right decisions, but I'm saying that for the most part, if we start with the fear of the Lord, it's the beginning of wisdom in our lives as we give him his rightful place in the pursuit of wisdom. And in 4 verse 7, I didn't read that, I don't think, but 4 verse 7, it says, wisdom is the principal thing. Therefore, get wisdom, and in all you're getting, get understanding. And this spoke to me in my life as far as just, you know, I mean, Do I have the wisdom of God in things? And he says here that, you know, in all you're getting, get understanding. So it's the principal thing. And I think if we were to include the Lord in the process of going through years of life and the things we learn in increasing our knowledge and maybe skills that we learn in life, I think the Lord is going to allow us to gain the wisdom we need in various areas of our life. I think, again, as I mentioned, it's if you look at James, as it talks about the wisdom from above, those ingredients of being pure and peaceful and willing to yield have to be included in that wisdom. It's not to win an argument. But it's to take the role that the Lord is teaching us to take in certain areas of life. And this was just a talk about how the book is constructed and looking at the other authors of the book of Proverbs. And I'll elaborate a little bit more on three sections of scripture that look at different people's beginnings with wisdom. And so hopefully we'll learn something more on Sunday. You can pray for that. But that's all for tonight. So God bless. We'll just close in a word of prayer for this time anyways, and I'll hand it back over to Corey. Dear God and Father, we thank you, Lord, for for your wisdom. And we do pray for the wisdom from above. We gain a lot of wisdom from around us, Lord. But your wisdom that you teach has certain ingredients in it that challenge our minds and ourselves and who we are, and help us to have the proper attitude towards things. And we just pray that you would teach us the fear of the Lord. It says in the book of Acts that the church of God was walking in the fear of the Lord. And they were enjoying the presence of the Lord, enjoying his blessings as they walked with this fear of the Lord, with putting him in his role of creating order out of disorder. We just pray, Lord, that we would walk in light of this with a conscience that we are looking to him to provide us with direction. So we pray these things, Lord, and bless your people in Jesus' name. Amen.